Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs Podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of Full Press Coverage. .com, coming to you on a Tuesday as we are finally here, week one, the 2021 NFL regular season. Still hard to believe we're already here, but obviously excited. We've already been able to see a lot of good football games. If you've been keeping up with week one of college football, great game between Georgia and Clemson. We had some other ranked teams facing off against each other this week. So a full slate of college football, a really exciting weekend, but now the NFL gets their showcase here, starting with Dallas and Tampa Bay Thursday night, and obviously a big game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cleveland Browns Sunday afternoon, 3:25 Central Time start. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo calling the game, so you know most of the nation is going to be having their eyes set on this game on Sunday afternoon. Tremendous matchup for week one, heavy hitting matchup. We're going to be talking a little bit about that today and talking about the opponent the Chiefs will face here on this podcast episode. We're going to go through also some of the latest news and notes surrounding the Chiefs as they get ready to return to practice this week and everything that's kind of going on there regarding injuries or other notes to monitor throughout this week in practice. And then, of course, just wanted to dive in a little bit. We talked about the Cleveland Browns, but some interesting news and nuggets, obviously, on them, a team that a lot of people, including myself, I think is going to be one of the best teams in the AFC this season, has a shot to go deep into the playoffs, I think, possibly this year. Actually, I was just working on my season predictions, playoffpredictors.com. It's a great resource to use for people that want to make their picks. If you want to make your own picks for the NFL season game by game from week one all the way up to the Super Bowl, go ahead and go to Playoff Predictors. You can also make picks there, college football games. So it's always been a great resource and tool to use as we get closer and closer here to the start of the season and making our picks. So, yeah, just wanted to start off with some of the news and notes. Andy Reid met with the media today in his Zoom press conference talking about some of the latest injury updates. But we're actually going to start off with a COVID-related update on safety Tyrann Mathieu. Of course, he tested positive for COVID Wednesday of last week. And the positive thing here is that he is vaccinated. So, you know, that's kind of the competitive advantage for a lot of teams. If you have a high rate of vaccinated players on your team, you are likely that you can get them back in the building and practicing or playing games much more earlier than if you have an unvaccinated player. No matter what, they have to quarantine for 10 days. So that's kind of the positive for, you know, having Tyrann Mathieu as a vaccinated player, a leader of this team. You know, his key to getting back into the building and practicing this week would be that he would have to test negative for at least, I believe it's two consecutive days, or at least, you know, within a 48-hour span, basically, from his last test before returning back to the facility. So Andy Reid did say today Matthew's still in COVID protocol right now. So still kind of going through some stuff, but the way that Andy Reid spoke about this, I mean, obviously he doesn't let a lot of information get out there. Any real news and nuggets that he drops, it's usually pretty minimal. But knowing how Andy Reid's kind of discussed stuff like this in the past, like injuries or certain monitors that they're keeping tabs on with players, it sounds like they're optimistic that he's going to be able to play week one. So that's a good sign. And as Nate Taylor reported, he's a Chiefs writer for The Athletic. He said that the team, including Andy Reid and the rest of the Chiefs staff, they're pretty optimistic that Tyrann Mathieu will rejoin the team for practice on Wednesday when they really start getting into the meat and potatoes of preparation for Cleveland this week. So that's a good sign. Again, still in COVID protocol, but as Reid kind of noted and the team noted today, it appears as he's kind of trending in the right direction for playing in week one. Now, it'll be interesting if for whatever reason he will not be able to play in week one. Again, we do not anticipate that right now, but if he were to miss week one, we probably will see a heavy dose of Daniel Sorensen and Juan Thornhill mixed up at the safety position. Of course, L'Jarius Sneed could maybe move back and forth a little bit. He did that some at Louisiana Tech. A lot better cornerback than he was a safety with the Bulldogs in college, but he's a guy that has that versatility and can do it if need be. I don't think we'll see a lot of Armani Watts. I mean, he's had some good preseason showings defensively with some snaps that he's been given. Obviously wound up with some interceptions again this year in the preseason. But when the games count, especially in a big game like this, I would expect the Chiefs to be a little more leery on their usage for Armani Watts, more of a special teams role player there. So, again, I don't know if it'll come to that point, but the packages that Kansas City would use defensively, it would be really interesting to see, especially when you're already missing Willie Gay, which we'll get to his injury update as well here in a moment. But when you're missing the coverage guy like that from your linebacker room already as well, that's probably going to lead to more Juan Thornhill. Hopefully, you know, you're assignment proof as good as you can be with him. You know, he's been a little bit leaky at times on the back end, you know, still learning to get his confidence back after tearing his ACL at the end of his rookie season in 2019. So there's a lot there that could be up in the air if Tyrann Mathieu is out. But again, trending in the right direction, looks like he will play week one. We'll see officially what his status is as we get closer to practice beginning on Wednesday. We mentioned Willie Gay was put on injured reserve last week with a toe injury, and there was kind of rumors that started to swirl about this. Arrowhead Live Twitter account did a good job getting on top of this early. It was confirmed later on, and obviously toe injuries are not anything that are easy to overcome for players no matter what position they play, but this is kind of one that's a little more minimal. The team put him on IR, meaning he'd miss at least the first 3 weeks of the season. So the plan kind of is here, get him a lot of rest, allow him to get off his feet as much as he can, work hard through a little bit of rehab on the side, and he should be ready to go week four, week five is the hope. I think this is a pretty minor injury, but in, you know, return with him being out, rookie linebacker Nick Bolton, second-round pick, obviously, this year out of Missouri. Expect to see, obviously, a lot of him paired up with Anthony Hitchens. The good thing is, I mean, we've seen Nick Bolton already improve, I think, on the little things throughout training camp and the preseason. I still worry about him a little in man coverage. He's a lot better, though, zone coverage with his instincts, football IQ. I mean, if you go back to the draft profile we wrote on him way back, I think it was February, I was looking at his read and react ability and zone coverage, detailed note taker that he is. He's also very noticeable, obviously, with his preparation, attention to detail. That's something we saw in Missouri, but I think that's sharpened even further throughout training camp of the preseason. Being in this kind of defense with Steve Spagnuolo, an attacking style of defense, fits him really well. So he's got a long way to go still in man coverage, but I think zone coverage, he'll be okay. And as Andy Reid said in the media portion today, you know, Nick Bolton obviously had the good training camp in preseason. He's kind of been worthy of getting more time for sure. So hearing that from Andy Reid and knowing how much they really wanted to overhaul the linebacker position the last couple of drafts, obviously 2020 with the Willie Gay draft pick and now 2021 with Bolton, they wanted to get more athletic, more versatile, because I think linebacker is becoming a lot more valuable position defensively for NFL teams than it was, say, just a few years ago, just because of spacing, just because of the way that passing offenses spread you out around the field. It's a lot more important now to have those kind of athletic linebackers. Kansas City definitely needed them. They got them the last couple of years. It's still not completely fixed, but the issue has been masked a little bit. And you look at what Nick Bolton, some of the positives that he brings to the table. We saw already some of it in the preseason. His tackle for loss attempts are going to be a plenty if he keeps doing what he does, slicing through gaps, working downhill as a thumper that he can be, reading and reacting as well as he does too, knowing where the ball is going. We saw a lot of tackle for losses when he was on the field in the preseason, and I would not be surprised to see him have ample opportunities this week, knowing the kind of offense that you're going against this week with a run-heavy scheme in Cleveland. Obviously not an easy offense to go up against, but that scheme and style could be a perfect mix for Nick Bolton in his first game. Obviously, as a tackler, man, he's explosive. He's a violent hitter, great form tackler. Reminds me, obviously, a little bit of Derek Johnson in that regard. But yeah, his violent hitting, jarring collisions, wide strike zone that he uses with his arms and his frame, and his quick twitch mobility too. I mean, this is a guy that with how well he tackles, he has a sneaky good chance of creating turnovers. So versatile player. I think obviously the negatives that come into effect still with Bolton, you know, that we wrote about in our draft profile of him. And I think obviously all these are still there early on, you know, throughout training camp in the preseason, needing work on this. A block deconstruction, which is kind of tough, you know, to have as a negative when you think about the style of play that he has as kind of more of a running, shooting linebacker. But I think he can do okay if he just continues to use the effort and the leverage that he has throughout the preseason. He doesn't really have horrible short area quickness, but his long and elite speed, that's another question mark going into his rookie year. And also the body control. We saw a couple times in the preseason, either a tackle for loss opportunity or a sack was there. Just got to work on finishing, got to get, you know, his form cocked and ready to coil, because there is time so far, you know, throughout preseason or even back in Missouri, where as good of a tackler as he can be, the missed tackle still resulted. So you're looking at that body control to be there a little bit more consistently. But I'm a big fan of Nick Bolton. I mean, there were not a lot of linebackers in this class that I thought fit the style of play that Kansas City has defensively. But Nick Bolton was one of those guys, one of those few guys I thought made sense. Kansas City, obviously, with the pre-draft process, him playing in Missouri helped a lot as well, but they obviously loved him. So there's a lot of high hopes for him. You hate to lose Willie Gay in the process because had a great end to last year before his injury. This year, great preseason and training camp, was flying around, making a lot of plays, showing off that speed, showing off the coverage ability. Again, he should be back pretty soon once he's off IR, but kind of a good and bad mix to have, I guess, with Bolton getting the jump start to playing a lot of snaps here as a rookie. You look at some other injury updates Andy Reid provided today. Running backs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire with an ankle injury, Darrell Williams with a concussion. They both suffered those in the second preseason game at the Arizona Cardinals. Reid said they both practiced last week. Coach said that they were looking like they were moving around pretty good, and he thinks that they'll be okay there. Meaning the team will be okay there. So just knowing kind of how Andy Reid reveals things or touches on things like that, obviously that's a good sign for both those running backs. They're expected to play week one, and that's huge, because we know this team, they've kind of hinted at it more and more as the regular season's gotten closer. And of course they're not going to reveal everything yet, but They have really kind of urged that they want to run the football a lot more this season, get Clyde going. I thought he had a good middle to end of last season as a rookie. Obviously, good debut as well, week one, and a couple other good early weeks. But really, really never got consistently rolling just because, you know, the usage was down or inconsistent week to week. And you also saw the injuries eventually play out. So getting Clyde going and getting even Darrell Williams even more opportunities, I think is not out of the question. I think he's proven time and time again when he's been called upon, either due to injuries to guys like Edwards-Helaire or obviously Darrell Williams in the past, or Damian Williams, sorry, in the past, Darrell Williams has always come through. Tough physical runner, always works upfield, you know, never dances too much or loses traction or yards. So I think this is huge, obviously, for the team, and with the offensive line that they have now built, a lot more physical, a lot more versatile up front as well. I think they're wanting to run the ball more. So seeing these two guys expected to play for week one, I think Patrick Mahomes is definitely going to be happy about that. This offensive line is excited to showcase them a little bit. And Andy Reid, I can't wait to see what he's got dialed up for both these guys, but especially Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So those are positive injury updates. Again, you wish Willie Gay was on the roster, but Tyrann Mathieu trending in the right direction. Clyde and Darrell Williams are running back, looking like they're going to play. Those are all positive updates, obviously, for the Chiefs regarding injuries and COVID-related stuff. I wanted to flip over now to the Cleveland Browns, talk about the opponent a little bit going into this week one game. And we're going to obviously talk about them a little further in Wednesday's article this week. with our Behind Enemy Lines that we do every week during the regular season. If you guys have not followed us in the past, I kind of take a deep dive look week to week, looking at the Chiefs opponent from offense, defense, and coaching perspective. And I just wanted to touch a little bit on the Cleveland Browns, just because obviously, like we said earlier, they're a team expected to make a lot of noise in the AFC, return to the playoffs last year, first time since 2002, their first winning season since 2007. I think I would put them probably as the third best team in the AFC just from a roster standpoint right now, behind probably Kansas City and Buffalo. Obviously, they had a good offseason bringing new guys in. I think their defensive line is still a big question mark. If there's anything about this deep roster, I think the defensive line is still the biggest question. They did bring in a lot of guys there. Tack McKinley, the former Falcons first round pick, obviously kind of flamed out in Atlanta, was not very productive, bounced around from a couple teams here and there after Atlanta, just being on practice squads. I believe he was last with the Raiders. So you got him as a defensive end kind of playing behind Myles Garrett right now. You have Malik Jackson, former Bronco, Jaguar, and Eagle defensive tackle. He's dealt with some injuries, but if healthy, he's kind of a nasty, punishing guy up front at defensive tackle for Cleveland. You have Malik McDowell, which is a really fun story as well on this defensive line. Was a second-round pick of the Seattle Seahawks in 2017. Unfortunate, obviously, story there at first after being drafted by the Seahawks, suffered a lot of injuries in an ATV accident and never played really for Seattle. So now just over 4 years after being a second round pick, he's going to be making his NFL debut this week at some point for the Browns against the Chiefs. So a really cool story that he's made this roster, carved out a role, again, an adept position. But Malik McDowell, former Seahawks second round pick, making his NFL debut this Sunday. Going to be a pretty cool story there for him and the Browns. And then you got Jadeveon Clowney. If you guys have followed me on Twitter last couple years, I mean, I think Jadeveon Clowney is one of the most overrated players at this point in the NFL, a guy that never healthy. Every year you hear the same story of him being in the best shape of his life. You see players teams dish out, you know, $10-plus million per year for him to only be healthy, you know, a quarter of the season. The sack production not there. So you guys know I'm not a big fan of Jadeveon Clowney at this point. But, again, he's going to have a big role and a big opportunity here with the Cleveland Browns, because right now at defensive end, there's really not anybody else besides Myles Garrett that is, you know, viable of being a starting option right now. So this is pretty bold right now with this defensive line that Cleveland's constructed. Now, there's some other guys on this unit. Obviously, Joe Jackson, another depth player, defensive end. Jordan Elliott, third-round pick last year in 2020 from Missouri. You have Tommy Togiai, who we'll touch on here in a little bit more. And Andrew Billings, a former Bengal. Those are some solid names there on the defensive line, some other depth options. But when you talk about how much they're going to be rotating guys in, and the true starting lineup of this team, besides Myles Garrett, I just think this is obviously the most questionable spot on the Browns' deep roster. But again, additions there on the defensive line, McKinley, Malik Jackson, Malik McDowell, and Jadeveon Clowney. The other additions they made I like a lot more than their defensive line ones. Anthony Walker Jr., at linebacker, formerly of the Indianapolis Colts, played his college ball at Northwestern. This is a guy, I think, one of the more underrated moves. There was a lot of them this year in NFL free agency, but this was a big one. I mean, the Browns linebackers played a lot better than I think most people expected them to last year. Mack Wilson, Sione Takitaki were the main leaders there. Malcolm Smith did a good job in a depth role, but I don't know how much you can really bank on that, again, this season and trust in them. So I really like this move of Anthony Walker Jr., kind of a do-it-all player, but obviously goes unnoticed during his time with the Colts, and I think it could be the same a little bit with the Browns here. But a good guy in coverage, a run defender that doesn't miss a lot of tackles when the run is on. So this is a good move for Anthony Walker Jr., but it's not going to grab as much headlines as their two secondary additions. You got cornerback Troy Hill, safety John Johnson III, both coming over from the LA Rams. I thought the John Johnson was the third, probably the top safety free agent on the market last year. So being able to get him, given the injuries that they've had and the rotating door of starting guys at safety, I thought that was a big move. And Troy Hill, I mean, a guy that I think fits their defense to a T, can play man coverage, can mix in coverage, obviously, I think, can press at the line of scrimmage, which could be important this week when you talk about him being one of the guys that could see some speed, obviously, in Tyreek Hill or Mecole Hardman. So these were two of my favorite moves across free agency, and they both happened to go via the Cleveland Browns way. So Troy Hill, John Johnson III, and Anthony Walker Jr., some of their other key additions. Obviously, most of their additions here on the defensive end as far as new names via free agency. They have some guys obviously returning from injury as well. Again, going to the secondary, two former LSU guys in Greedy Williams and Grant Delpit. They were both second-round picks. Delpit in 2020 had a shoulder injury, obviously did not hardly play much last season. And then Greedy Williams, 2019, he's dealt with a couple different injuries each season so far in his career. But this is a guy I think still has the ability to play and bring ball skills to the table, can provide some turnover worthy opportunities as well. So those are two players that are going to be probably not as well known for casual fans or nationally. They're not going to get as much hype, but those are going to probably be very key players for the Browns' secondary depth this season returning from injury. And, of course, you've got Odell Beckham Jr., wide receiver, torn ACL last year. It's obviously been tough sledding so far getting on the same page with Baker Mayfield in this offense, but I think you could easily see before his injury last year that was finally starting to turn the corner a little bit. Baker hit him on some deep passes last year. I just remember the, I think it was what, week two, I want to say Thursday night game at the Bengals, or at home against the Bengals, a wild game, high scoring back and forth. There was one play where Odell just totally undressed the Bengals corner with such a smooth route. So you could kind of start to see Baker and him get on the same page last year. If that continues, again, that's another reason as to why Cleveland could be one of the top teams in the AFC this year. So Odell returning from injury is huge. You look at their draft class too. I think one of the better ones probably in their division for sure. And you look at also just the AFC in general. Just go through the picks here real quick. 26th overall in the first round, they took cornerback Greg Newsome the second from Northwestern. Second round pick, JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa from Notre Dame, a guy I actually had pretty highly rated on my own big board, nearly a top 10 rated player for me. I really like JOK a lot in today's NFL. Slipped a lot farther than I think most people thought he would. He was a late second round pick at 52 overall. They took Auburn wide receiver Anthony Schwartz in the third round, two fourth round picks. They addressed the trenches with Cincinnati offensive lineman James Hudson and followed it up with Ohio State defensive lineman Tommy Togiai. Togiai, I think, was a guy that I had in my top five among defensive line prospects, at least a defensive tackle. So Togiai is a guy that a little bit of a work in progress still, but very violent at the point of attack, strong hands, I think perfect with today's NFL at defensive tackle, needing to provide immediate push and being able to get off of blocks. I think Togiai is going to be a sneaky good depth piece for them this year at defensive tackle. Fifth round, they had two picks with linebacker Tony Fields from West Virginia, one of the better coverage linebackers in the Big 12 last year, which very hard to do in that conference, but stood out a lot when watching West Virginia last year. And then you also add their other fifth-round pick, safety Richard LeCount from Georgia, and their sixth-round pick, running back slash wide receiver from UCLA, Demetric Felton. This is a guy that gadgety guy, can work in the running game, can work in the passing game, a little bit smaller build, but super, super good with the ball in his hands, makes defenders miss, and can provide scoring plays or scoring opportunities at the snap of a finger. So I really like this draft class. I think Anthony Schwartz is probably a little bit higher than I would have taken, but his speed is obviously what the Browns are kind of clinging to there when you don't really necessarily have a lot of elite speed guys in your wide receiver core. You look at, along with Odell Beckham Jr., you got Jarvis Landry, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Rashard Higgins. So that's the only other four guys on their wide receiver depth chart right now besides Schwartz. So Schwartz is definitely the speed guy there as a rookie third-round pick. But like I said, I think Cleveland's a top three team in the AFC, and we're going to get into this matchup more this week with our articles, so obviously stay tuned there. But like I said, this is a heavyweight bout to begin the season in week one. I kind of feel like Cleveland does not totally have a full idea of what's in store for them from Kansas City, what they're going to bring to the table. And I think there's going to be some of the same thing as well from the other way around. So this is a fun playoff rematch from last year. Obviously, one of the biggest stories in this game from last year in the playoffs, Patrick Mahomes' injury. So is Chad Henne getting it done? And I think a lot of people thought, you know, the score being as close as it is, Cleveland's got a really good shot of pulling off the upset this year. And I would not rule that out, but I think if this team is fully healthy and ready to go like we think they are in Kansas City, rolling on all cylinders, I think this could be a really, really good kind of prove it point to start the season for Kansas City. And we know Patrick Mahomes, 10-0, I believe, in his career so far in September. We know Andy Reid's teams in Kansas City, ever since he started his Chiefs tenure, has been really good September to begin the year. So really excited to dive into this matchup more as the week progresses. Like we said, you guys can stay tuned for all of our articles. We have Behind Enemy Lines focusing more on the Browns on Wednesday. We're going to look at some key matchups on Thursday to watch for in Sunday's game. And of course, our game preview Friday, we'll have another podcast episode kind of diving more into the game preview there, what we're going to focus on, keys to victory, things we'll want to see and what we'll be watching for. So stay tuned for all that. Of course, you guys can follow us on Twitter at FPC Chiefs or at BradenHolacek9 if you guys want to follow me. Check out the latest article we had here to begin the week on this Labor Day week here on Monday. We had ranking the opposing quarterbacks on the Kansas City Chiefs schedule. I kind of changed and altered my rankings a couple few different times, but was really happy with it when I was all said and done. I've done opposing quarterback rankings on the Chiefs schedule the last 3 or 4 years, and honestly, I think this is one of the weaker quarterback groups the Chiefs will be facing this year compared to the last couple few years, but still a lot of great passers that I like to watch on there. So go check out my order. If you disagree with me, again, let us know on Twitter at FPC_Chiefs or at BradenHolacek9. Of course, you guys can follow other full press coverage Twitter accounts to stay tuned with all the news and the latest rumors NFL-wise at Full Press NFL or at FP_coverage if you guys want to follow us there. I do run the social media accounts there most of the time with the news updates, so just getting those out quickly. And to all you, if you guys want to follow us there just so you don't miss a beat with any NFL news, that would be much appreciated. Of course, any other fans of other teams, if you guys have friends or family that are friends of the Dolphins, the Bucks, the Patriots, the Raiders, so many other great teams that are doing great work across the full press coverage page. So go check them out as well. If you have friends or family, like we said, point them out to those that are doing some other great work across the site. Of course, some other daily video content that you guys can check out. I know we have a preview show for the opening night game, Dallas-Tampa Bay, coming up on Thursday. I'll be on there. Ian Glendon will be on there. We'll see who else makes it on, but cannot wait to talk the opening night matchup with Ian and whoever else. So look forward to that on Thursday night. I'm sure we'll be on YouTube. We'll be on Facebook. We'll be on Twitter. Go search full press coverage for all that on Thursday night. And even Sunday, we'll have another show previewing the rest of week one. And yeah, like I said, just stay tuned for the latest articles this week. It's going to be great getting back into the groove of a regular season schedule. And yeah, stay tuned for the latest news and rumors, FPC Chiefs, and the rest of full press coverage NFL. With that, enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you guys next time.